Christ is in our midst. As I mentioned last Sunday, the feast of the elevation of the cross of the Lord, when it was found in the 4th century by the Emperor Constantine's mother, St. Helen, and was raised aloft by the Archbishop of Jerusalem, Makarios, is such a great feast that we have special scripture readings set aside for the Sunday before, the day of the feast, and now today, the Sunday after the feast. Because the cross is central to our lives. Without the cross, we are fools. We are professing faith in vain. But by the cross of Christ, he has purchased our salvation, our redemption from sin, our redemption from death. And the hymns surrounding the cross connect the wood of the cross, for where does wood come from but a tree? It connects the tree of the cross to the tree in the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve ate of, and by so doing brought sin into the world, and death, and suffering, and pain. That one tree that had food, that looked good and tasted good, didn't bring life. It brought death. But this tree, a dead tree, mind you, for to make a cross, you have to have dead wood. It's dead. It's cut up. It's made into an instrument of torture. Upon this dead tree hung the Son of God. And by his death, by his pouring out his blood, he has given us life. And not simply life, but life to the full. Life everlasting. We heard in the Prokimenon today, special for this feast, extol the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for it is holy. If you've ever seen one of those movies about medieval times, like The Adventures of Robin Hood, you'll see kings have a small little stool with gold, velvet, so when they sit on their throne, their feet rest upon it so their feet don't touch the ground. So they have this little footstool where a king, a monarch, places his feet. And when we sing this psalm, extol the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for it is holy, that footstool is the cross. Not covered in gold, not covered in velvet, but rather bare and covered with the blood of the Savior. That is his footstool, before which we worship because it is holy, because he is holy. Because he deigned to make this place of torture and death the place where we would be given life. The place where he would die so that we could live. And how are we to live? In the life he has given us by his death upon the wood of the cross. Our Lord Jesus tells us in the gospel today, unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow in my steps, you are not worthy of me. But what does this mean, to deny ourselves? He answers that a sentence or two later, where he says, what good is it if a man gains the whole world but loses his soul? For what can compare to one's soul? Jesus is asking us to deny not the life he gives us. He is asking us to deny that life which seeks after a life without God, a life of the things of this world. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve sought. When they ate that fruit, the serpent told them, you would be like God. They wanted to be God, but without God. They wanted to be gods on their own. And brothers and sisters, that is our struggle, to deny that within us that wants to fill our lives up with all the material things of the world as though they could ever satisfy us. Whether it is food or clothing, homes or cars, money or fame, things we see on the billboards or on advertisements telling us, buy this and you'll have a better life. Buy this and you'll have more sex appeal. Buy this, you'll look younger, prettier, more handsome. And it's all a waste. A waste. Because it's seeking to cover over our nakedness with things that do not last, which are things in the end that are created by God. God wants us for himself. And beloved, it takes some strength to confess to God our nakedness. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden after they ate the fruit? They hid themselves, had fig leaves. They were afraid to show themselves to God because they realized their sin, that is their nakedness, that they had separated themselves from him. And we in our life have to make that decision. Are we going to cover ourselves over with fig leaves, looking in the mirror, telling ourselves how beautiful or handsome we are, how great we are, how wonderful we are, when all it is covering over a tomb? It's covering over our nakedness and not showing ourselves to God, but rather being concerned with how we appear to ourselves, with how we appear to others. All we can present of ourselves to God is our nakedness in our sins, not to cover them over, and not to fear God, like Adam and Eve did in the garden. Because God's not seeking to punish us, to strike us down. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to be with him. And for us to be with him, we must put aside those fleshly desires within us. Like St. Paul said in the epistle today, the life I live in the flesh now, I live for Christ and in faith in Christ Jesus. And the prayer before the gospel that the priest takes silently, he asks God that for all of us, that we may no longer lead a life according to our fleshly desires, to our fallenness, to the things that we want rather than the things that we need, but to live according to spiritual understanding, to live according to God's way, which he shows us upon the cross. It is the way of humility. It is the way of offering ourselves up to God, coming before him to confess our nakedness, to confess our sins, to confess our sinfulness, rushing towards him and knowing that that little step we take, he's already rushing towards us. For it is not simply a movement of us towards God, but it is also a movement of God towards us. Him rushing to greet us, to meet us, to receive us, to forgive us, to love us, if we but love him. If we but confess to him the poverty of our fallenness and offer up to Him the pain that we experience, that is the struggle of carrying our cross, the struggle of fasting, the struggle of praying every day, of reading the scriptures, the struggle it can be to make sure we come here to the Holy Church to worship God every Sunday. Because our fallen nature would have us do otherwise, would have us stay home in our bed, have bacon and eggs in the morning. Why come to church? That's our fallen nature. So we're asked to deny ourselves, deny that that we well know within us, those things that are for our convenience rather than for God's glory. And God sees that. And it is not something God needs from us. It's something we need to do ourselves. And God, again, rushes towards us to catch us in His embrace, to hold on to us, to not let go. And we must do our part to not let go of Him, to offer up to God the denial that we give to ourselves, the denial of our fallenness, denying our sins, turning away from them, and rather confessing our nakedness and our pain before God so that He can receive us, wash us again with His blood that we receive in the Holy Eucharist for the forgiveness of our sins, for life everlasting. The life that begins here and again finds its fulfillment in His kingdom. And to Him, our crucified Savior, with His Father and the Holy Spirit, be glory to ages of ages. Amen.